Okay, so we're going to discuss two sugyos today. The first, going in order of what we discussed in Shir, the first, Eved Va'ama, which appears on Bava Kamma, Dalan Amud Aleph, and the second, Adam Amazik, which we just concluded in Shir, from Bava Kamma, Gimel Amud Beis. So let's begin with Eved Va'ama. So the Gemara considers the possibility that Chiyuv Nezikin, characterized by Kavanos Alahazik, wouldn't be a Chumra, but rather would be a Kula. That would be a reason to exempt someone from Chiyuv for damages rather than to obligate them. Something that doesn't necessarily cohere with our initial intuitions, but something that the Gemara considers nonetheless. We've discussed the Tosos on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where Tosos says that if something is Kavanos Alahazik, so it's very, very difficult to protect against, to prevent from damaging, and therefore would be a reason to exempt someone from Chiyuv for damages. And we pointed out numerous times, as well as Rav Rosenzweig has as well, that Tosfos very much highlights an idea of chose, of a machayev of choser shmira. So if you can't be, if you can't possibly be shomer against the damages, then you won't be obligated for the damages. So then the Gemara tries to bring a proof that Kavanos Alahazik might be a reason to exempt rather than a reason to be mechayev from the case of Eved Va'ama, where we know that if a person owns a slave and that slave goes and does damages, so the Adon is not chayev for the damages of the Eved, despite the fact that the Eved is Kavanos Alahazik. So the Gemara tries to use this as a reason as a comparison to Karen being Kavanos Alahazik, being more Kal than Shane, which is Ein Kavanos Alahazik. And then Rav Ashi rejects that comparison by showing that the din of Eved Va'ama really rests on different reasoning, namely the reasoning of Shema Yakni Tenu Rabo V'yelich V'yad Gedisho Shachaveir, that maybe one day the Adon will infuriate the Eved will try to get revenge against the Adon, so he'll go and he'll burn other people's fields, and then he'll cause the Adon to have to pay millions and millions of dollars in damages. So to protect against that, or we'll see exactly why, but the based on that reasoning, the Adon is potter from the damages of his Eved. So there's a number of questions we can ask based on this din in the Gemara. The first, we're always going to look for a makor. So what's the source for the din of Ptur, Nizke, Eved, Va'ama? Second, once we know what the makor is, then we're going to want to know whether it's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. Right? So if we have some makor from the Torah, or if it's a svara from the Torah, so we'll know it's a din d'oraisa. But if not, then maybe it's a din d'rabbanan. Certainly if we read the Gemara Kepashla, Shema Yakni Tenu, it sounds like a chashash d'rabbanan, a tikkun ha'olam type of din, in which case we would conclude that this is only a din d'rabbanan. The third is what the basis is for this ptur. Right? What is the poter? What's the reasoning for this ptur? And then lastly, so what's the relationship between the basis for the ptur and the chashash of Shema Yakni Tenu? And then what's the scope of the ptur? All of these are just very basic questions that we would ask pertaining to almost any din. So beginning with the makor, so there are contradictory implications from the Mefarshim and the Gemara. Certainly the Pashas and the Gemara is that the makor for this din is from the Mishnah on Yadayim, Perek Dalet, Halacha Zayin, where the Chachamim have a debate with the Tzdukim, and the Chachamim end up saying that an Adon is potter for the damages of his Eved Va'ama because of this reasoning of Shema Yakni Tenu. And that's what, so Tosos points out, Tosos and Dalet and Aleph points out that that would be the makor for this halacha. So where does it get complicated? It gets complicated from Rashi. Because Rashi, on the spot in the Gemara and Daf Dalet and Aleph, points to a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, and Daf Pei Zayin and Aleph, where the Mishnah is talking about Chavala, and it says that the Chavalos of an Eved, the Isha, are Pigi'asan Ra'a, because people who are chovel, the Eved V'Isha, are chaya for their chavala, but if the Eved V'Isha are chovel other people, so then they're potter from the Dmei Chavalos. So Rashi points to that din as the source for Eved Va'ama. Tosfos asks on Rashi, that Rashi doesn't seem to make sense with the Gemara, because the Gemara says that the din is Eved V'Ama with a mem, not Eved V'Isha with a shin. So it sounds like the Gemara is talking about Amma, not Isha, whereas Rashi's Makar is talking about Isha, not Amma. So there seems to be this disconnect between the Gemara and Dalet Amud Aleph and the Gemara and Pizayin Amud Aleph for Shitas Rashi. Nonetheless, the Pashtus in Rashi is that he thinks that from that Mishnah we're deriving that at least the Nezikim, as a derivation from Chavalos, would that the Nizikim of Eved Ve'ama would be Pater, just as the Chavalos of Eved Ve'isha are Pater. That's Pashtus and Rashi. But if you take a look at the Pnei Yoshua, so he loved Avka's Rashi. He says Rashi is really only dealing in the Havamina, because Rashi is trying to explain how the Maksha of the Gemara didn't know about the Mishnah and Yadayim. So he's saying, oh, the Maksha of the Gemara thought that the basis or the Makar for this din was really from the Mishnah on Pezayin Amid Aleph. But in the Maskon of the Gemara, once Rav Ashi answers the question, then we learn that the real source for this din is from the Mishnah on Yadayim. So if that's the case, if the Pnei Yoshua is correct, then really there is no debate. Really everyone agrees that the Makar for this din is from the Mishnah on Yadayim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin. So the relevance of the Makar for this din will come on later, but I just wanted to address it at first, because whenever we go in order, we're always going to want to go for the Makar first. Next, what's the basis for the Ptur from Nizkei Eved Ve'ama? So we could propose two fundamental options. The first is that this is really a chashash, that Shema Yakni Tenu Rabo V'yelich V'yadek Gedishol Shachaviro is not just a motivation for the din, but is actually the din itself. So there's a chashash that the Eved will purposefully cause some monetary loss to the Adon, and therefore the Adon is pater from the damages. It's kind of, you know, our terminology in Shir, it's a policy decision. Right? So we're making a standard policy that it's better for society if the Adon is exempt from the damages of his Eved, because otherwise we're going to run into very murky cases or cases in which we're going to cause unfair chiyuvim to the Adon. So to protect against those unjust chiyuvim, we're just going to wipe it all out entirely. So if that's the case, then we still have to ask, on what level are we establishing this chashash? So there's a machlokas between the Tam and Rabbeinu Tam and the Meiri. Both of them agree that the basis for this din is the chashash of Shema Yakni Tenu, but they disagree as to the level of the din. The Tam and Rabbeinu Tam says that it's a din d'oraisa, whereas the Meiri says, kepashtas, that it's just a din d'rabbana. And then there would be another question, which is that if really, so what's this saying? The Meiker hadin, the Adon should have been chayev for the nizikim of his Eved. But because of this chashash, in order to protect against cases of unjust chiyuvim, we're going to wipe out the chiyuv for the Adon entirely. But then that forces the question of Me'ikar Adin, what was the reason why the Adon was going to be chayev for the nizikim of his Eved? So here we find two different formulations, both within the Ravon. The Ravon in Bava Kama emphasizes Mamono Shehizik, which is a phrase that we're familiar with from other Avos Nezikin. Mamono Shehizik is basically just a catch-all phrase where a person's responsible for the Nezikim of his mamon. When it's used in the Lamdasha terminology, like in the Achronim, so it's used as a distinction from like an Arichos Yad type of an idea, or a Maisa Hezek type of an idea. Where Mamono Shehizik is really that it's the mamon that did the Maisa Nezek, and then the chiyuv for the Nezek is attributed back to the Baal because he's the bank account that's responsible for the damages of his property. In contrast, we have the idea of a Maisa Hezek, where we look at the Baal as if he's doing the Maisa Hezek through the proxy of his mamon. But I think when the Ravon talks about Mamono Shehizik, he's not necessarily intending it in the Lamdasha terminology. He's just trying to say that we have a general principle in Halacha that a person is obligated for the damages of his property. And since the Eved is considered the property of the Adon, therefore the Adon would be Chayev for the damages of the Eved, just as he is Chayev for the damages of his shor, or of his bor, or of his ish. Well, really definitely his shor, maybe bor and ish. Okay. Then there's another formulation in the Ravon of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. So we read this in Shir as a Maisa Hezek type of an idea, an Arichas Yad type of an idea, where the Adon would be Chaya for the damages of his Eved because we view the Adon as acting through the proxy of his Eved. Isaac in Shir tried to knock that down. He's just trying to say Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo is a totally different halacha, not relevant to Nizkei Mamon. It's really just a different idea of being Mechayev the Adon for actions of his Eved. And the Ravon was actually using this in a very different way, where he's trying to say that the principle of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo is not relevant to this case because the Eved is acting against the will of the Adon. That's certainly one way to read the Ravon. It's kind of dependent on two gersos. If you look at the footnotes in the Ravon, so the footnotes in the Ravon disagree with Isaac, although I agree that the pashtus of the wording does confirm Isaac's read. So anyway, there's different ways to read the Ravon here. Next, So we have this first basic approach that the Ptur Nizke Eved Va'ama would be rooted in this chashash that the Eved will purposefully cause a monetary loss to his owner. But then we have an entirely different view, which takes Shema Yakni Tenu and quote-unquote fundamentalizes it, which makes it into an Iker Hadin. Whereas according to the first approach, Me'iker Hadin, the Adon, was Chayav for Nizke Eved. According to this next approach, Me'iker Hadin, fundamentally the Adon is Potter for Nizke Eved. Why would that be the case? So we pointed to the formulation of the Rambam in Geneva Aleph Tes, which Reb Chaim in Gezeila Tes Aleph reads this way as well. So the Rambam says as follows. Rambam says, Ha'eved Shaganav, Pater Min HaKefel, Ubailov Peturim. So the Bailim are Pater from the Kefel of the Eved, She'in Adam Chayav Al Nizkei Avadav, Afal Pi She'in Mamona. Says the Rambam that an Andon is not Chayav for the Nizikim that his Eved does, even though the Eved is considered his property. Mepnei She'yash Bohen Das, Ve'inu Yachol L'Shomran. Because the Eved is a Bar Das, he's someone with consciousness, he can act of his own volition, ve'inu yachol l'shomran, and therefore the Adon cannot protect against the Eved. She'im yachisenu rabo, v'yelich v'yadei gadish be'elav dinar, v'chayotei b'zemesh arnezikim. So this She'im could have been read in the more technical sense. I mean, we could have identified the Rambam with the Shitos of the Meiri and the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, that this She'im is really the basis for the din. But the way that Reb Chaim is reading this is She'im is not if, but rather such that. That because the Eved has consciousness and cannot be protected against to the degree that if he could just go and force the Adon to pay for in an unjust manner. Basically go and damage in whatever way he wants and then compel his Adon to take the responsibility and pay the check for the Eved's damages. So that's where Reb Chaim reads the Rambam. Essentially, he's saying that according to the Rambam, this is an Iker Hadin Halacha, that because the Adon cannot protect against the damages of his Eved, therefore the Adon is not at fault, May Iker Hadin, for the damages of the Eved. Even within this reading, there are still different ways to formulate how we could pater the Adon. So the first is just a brute Ptur Ones. It's really trying to say that the Adon is an onus here. There was nothing he could do. So therefore, we're applying Ptur Ones to this case and saying that he's not at fault. Mm-hmm. However, other Achronim tried to say that it's not really a Ptur Ones, but something even more fundamental than a Ptur Ones. It's not something external, like coercion, that comes and exempts the Adon from the Ptur of the Eved, but rather it's something internal within the Dinim of Nezek. So the way the Evan HaAzel describes this Ptur, he says that really the Rambam holds of a Choser Shmira approach to Nezikin in general. The Mechayev for Nezikin in general, according to the Rambam, is negligence. But in this case, we cannot consider the Adon negligent because there was nothing more that he could have done. A nafkamina here would be, and the Evan HaAzel actually notes this nafkamina, if you look inside, is a case where the Adon could have done more to protect against the Eved. So if he could have done more, then according to Evan HaAzel's reading of the Rambam, the Adon should be chayav in that case. Whereas Rav Rosenzweig's reading of the Rambam would hedge against that nafkamina. Why? Because Rav Rosenzweig mentioned that in the beginning of the Rambam, we've spoken about this in the past, the Rambam says, Kol nefesh chaya shi b'rishuso shal adam, nizkei mamon alef shehizika, habaylin chayavin neshalim, sheharei mamonam hizik. Because the property damaged. That doesn't sound like a Choser Shmira approach. That sounds more like a Tziruf Lehezek approach. So how are we supposed to jive together? How are we supposed to be Miyashev, the Lashon of the Rambam in Nizkei Mamon Aleph Aleph, with the Lashon of the Rambam in Geneva Aleph Tes? Whereas in Nizkei Mamon Aleph Aleph, the Rambam seems to be emphasizing the Tziruf Lehezek. In Geneva Aleph Tes, the Rambam seems to be emphasizing Choser Shmira. So how are we supposed to be Miyashev, those two different indications? So Rav Rosenzweig said that they really combine to form one idea, that the lack of the tziruf to the nezek is because there's no responsibility to be shomer. Meaning Aleph Tes informs on Aleph Aleph. Aleph Tes of Geneva informs on Aleph Aleph of Nizkei Mamon. Once you don't have a responsibility to be shomer, then we can no longer consider you mitzuraf to the hezek. If that's the case, so then it would come out that even when you could have done more to protect against the Eved, nonetheless you would be potter. Why? Because it's not the Choser Shmira that's exempting you from the Nezek. It's the fact that you can't protect against this Eved that takes away your Tziruf to his Hezek. But at the end of the day, it's the lack of Tziruf LeHezek that potters you from his Nezek. And since that's always the case across the board, then you would be potter even when you could have done more. That would be the nafka mina between Rav Rosenzweig's approach and the Evan Ha'aza. What's a nafka mina between these two broad approaches of whether we view the Ptur Nizke Eved Ba'ama as a chashash, and really Me'ikr Hadin, the Adon should have been chayav, or whether we view the Ptur as a fundamental Ptur, such that Me'ikr Hadin, he's pater. So it's a great nafka mina on the Noda B'Yehuda, Choshen Mishpat Simin Zayin, Noda B'Yehuda Tanyana. Let's say a case where an Eved goes and kills someone else. Should the Adon have to pay for the Dmei Neherak? Should he have to pay for the value of the person who was killed? So the Noda B'Yehuda says that because the basis for the Ptur Nizkei Eved Ba'ama is the Chashash of Shema Yaknitenu, in this case, the Adon's going to have to pay for the Dmei Neherak. Why? Because the Chashash doesn't apply to this case. Of course we don't have a Chashash that the Eved's going to go out and kill other people. Because if the Eved goes and kills other people, then he's going to be put to death. We don't have a Chashash that people are going to do things based on which they're going to be put to death, they're going to get capital punishment. So since the chashash doesn't apply to this case, therefore the ptur doesn't apply. And therefore the adon would have to pay for the dmei neherak. Whereas if we take the fundamental approach, either of the Evan Ha'azel or of Rav Rosenzweig, so then in this case of Eved Shaharag, it shouldn't be any different from a case of Eved Shehizik. Just because the Eved Shaharag is going to end up, it's going to result in Misas Ha'eved, doesn't change the fact that the Adon is not Mitzuraf to the actions of the Eved. And therefore the Adon would not have to pay for the Dmei Neherag either. Now let's get to the scope of the din, which is also somewhat of an nafka mina between the different approaches to the din. So the main place to look in the scope of the din is whether this din is fundamentally applies to Isha. We already mentioned this a bit when we discussed at the first the makar for the din. Remember, we mentioned the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, the pashas and the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, whether the makar was from the Mishnah Nidayim, which has nothing to do with Isha, or whether the makar is from the Mishnah Vavakama Pizayin, which has everything to do with Isha. So just from that machlokas itself, it seems like there's a machlokas whether the din of Shema Yaknitenu is, or whether the din of Ptur Nizkei Isha is relevant to the Ptur of Nizkei Eved Va'ama. The daya that really hones in on this question is the Galyonei Hashas, Bavakama Dalin Amin Aleph Alatar. So the Galyonei Hashas has some diyukim from Tosos and Bava Metzia Kuf Dalid, from the Tashbetz in Chilek Gimel, Simen Kuf Lama Dalid, that really this reasoning of Shema Yaknitenu would apply equally to an Isha. That when you have a Baal v'Ishto, so the reason why the Baal is potter from paying for Nizkei Ishto, or also for Halvos Ishto, is because we have this concern that the Isha, Rachmana Litzlan, have a really big fight, and then she'll want to go out and get him back, so she'll go and damage someone else's property and be mechayiv the husband to pay for the damages. So Tosos and the Tashbetz, according to the reading of the Galyonei Hashas, say that the reason why the Baal's potter from paying for the damages in that case is because of Shema Yaknitenu. The Galyonei Hashas reads Rashi Alatar that way as well, meaning he takes Rashi Kepashtos. He's saying Rashi is making the connection between Bava Kama Dalet Amin Aleph and Bava Kama Pizayin Amin Aleph, and he's saying that the same reasoning underlies all of these dinim. Just as Shema Yaknitenu underlies the reasoning of Ptur Eved Va'ama, so too it underlies the reasoning of Pigi Asan Ra'a of Eved V'Isha on the Mishnah on Pezayin Amad Aleph. So according to all of these deos within the reading of the Galyonei Hashas, the principle, the chashash of Shema Yaknitenu applies to Isha. But the pashtus is that it doesn't. The pashtus is that fundamentally a Baal doesn't have to pay for Nizkei Ishto because the Isha is not knuya to the Baal. Whereas the Eved is considered the property of the Baal, the Isha is not considered the property of the Baal. And that's what the Galyonei Hashas points out in response to all of these Mekoros. And if you look at some other Mekoros also, it seems that way. If you look at the Ravan and Bava Kama, it seems that way. The Pnei Yoshua reads Rashi Alatar that way. I mentioned at the beginning that the Pnei Yoshua loved Afkos Rashi. And he makes this point as well, that it's impossible to entertain that the Baal would be Chayef for Nizkei Ishto because the Isha is not the property of the Baal. So that's the pashtus. But within the view that really me'ikar hadin, the Baal would have had to pay for Nizkei Ishta, were it not for the concern of Shema Yak Mitenu. So what would be the basis for that chiyuv? Why would a Baal have to pay for Nizkei Ishta? So the Gilyone Asha says that maybe it's because the Isha is not fully kenuya to the Baal, but with respect to the Maisei Yadayim, so the Isha has an obligation to do Maisei Yadayim, and those Maisei Yadayim are kenuyim to the Baal. So with respect to the Maisei Yadayim, the Isha is considered kenuya to the Baal. But seemingly, we could only justify this type of approach if we take a bank account type of approach to Nizikin. If we think that the reason why the Baal has to pay for Nizikin, whether it be his shor, whether it be his eved, whether it be ishto, is because he's the bank account that's the responsible address for Nizikin that other parties do. So if that's the case, then maybe you can make an argument that fundamentally the Baal would have to pay for the Nizikin that his wife does. But if you think that it's going to be based on a tzir of lehezek, you can never make an argument that the Baal would have to pay for Nizkei Ishta. Because Ishta, the wife, is way too independent of the Baal to consider her Nizikim as the actions of the Baal and the Baal acting through the proxy of his Isha. You can't make that type of argument because they're two totally independent people, two totally independent personalities, even more so than an Eved, because the Isha is really not Kenuya to the Baal the same way that the Eved is. So again, this question within the scope of the din, whether it applies to Isha, also reflects on how we view the basic Mechaev for Nizkei Mam. So that's the end of our first sugya of Eved Va'ama. Now let's transition to the sugya of Adam Hamazik. There's an interesting connection between the sugyos of Eved Va'ama and Adam Hamazik. Comes up in the Nimuka Yosef. The Nimuka Yosef is bothered by why the Gemara uses the word Maveh to describe Adam Hamazik. Why not just say Adam? Why does it have to say Maveh? Of course, within the worldview of Rav. So there are different interpretations in the Rishonim as to why the Gemara used the term Maveh as opposed to Adam. And the Nimuka Yosef explains that it's because Maveh connotes someone who's free, a Ben Chorin, as opposed to, this is meant to exclude Eved Va'ama. So the Nimuka Yosef thinks that the term Maveh comes to exclude Eved Va'ama, which is the Ptur Eved Va'ama, which is what we just discussed, which is an interesting connection between Eved Va'ama and Adam HaMazik, and we'll use that as a segue to discussing the sugya of Adam HaMazik. So just as we've discussed all the other Avos Nezikin, all of the shores, and we've discussed, Isaac discussed Bor yesterday, and Bez Hashem will discuss Ish in the next man. So now let's have a little bit of a survey of Adam HaMazik. So the Gemara Gemara is discussing Rav Papa's statement that there are toldos that are kayotze bohen and toldos lav kayotze bohen, and it's searching for the toldos that are lav kayotze bohen, and eventually it reaches the av of maveh, and it considers whether the toldos of maveh are kayotze bohen or lav kayotze bohen. So if maveh is sheen like Shita Shmuel, then we've already discussed that in Gimel and Aleph. So it must be that we're really just discussing, according to Rav, that Mav is Adam. We have a new Av to discuss. So are the toldos of Adam ke Adam or not? So the Gemara weighs two possibilities as to what the toldos of Mav are. First, it has the possibility that Yashin is the tolda, but then it rejects that suggestion because of Adam Muad La'olam. And then it says that Kichov and Nio would be the tolda. And then it concludes that either that's not a tolda or it's Kayotzebo because of Kocho. And eventually the Gemara has the line that tolda the Mav ke Mav. So just as all of the shores are Kayotzebohen and Bor is Kayotzebohen, so too Adam is Kayotzebohen. So let's discuss some Iker questions with regard to this sugya. First, just alatar, like a prati question from just reading the Gemara. We want to know whether there are such things as toldos of Adam. There are contradictory implications in the Gemara. The Gemara concludes tolda demave kemave, which Alpipashta suggests that there is a tolda. If you're going to say tolda demave kemave, it sounds like there is a tolda. But at the same time, it doesn't have the same same formulations that it has earlier in the Gemara with regard to Shor and Bor. It doesn't say, the Av has this characteristic and the Tolda has this characteristic and therefore the Tolda is Kayotze Bo of the Av. It just says Kocho for Kicho V'Nio, or it just says Adamu La'olam for Yashin. So from those formulations, you could reach the conclusion that there just are no toldos for Adam. And if you did reach that conclusion, then we would want to know why Adam is different from all of the other Nizkei Mamon, whereas all of the other Nizkei Mamon do have toldos, Adam doesn't have toldos. What would be the basis for that distinction? Second, what's the source for Chiyuv Tashlumin in a case of Adam Amazik? It's also interesting with regard to all of the other Nizkei Mamon. So the Gemara mentions the source. Actually, does it? It doesn't mention explicitly for Bor and Ish, I think. But for all of the shores, it gets to the Makar. And we certainly have a very, very clear Makar for Bor and Ish in the Torah. But what's the Makar for Adam Amazik? Does the Makar of Adam Amazik even appear in the Parsha of Mishpatim with all of the other Nizkei Mamon? Third, what's the Mechayev for the Chiyuv Tashlumin in this case? That's a question that we've dealt with throughout all of our survey of Nizkei Mamon, and also relates back to our step in our hierarchy of whether there are different Mechayevim along the spectrum of Nizkei Mamon, the question of the Griz versus what we've been trying to do in Shir to show that the Griz is not necessarily correct. What's the relationship between Adam Amazik, Nizkei Mamon, and Adam Achovel? We have three different cases of Nizikim. So what's the relationship between all three categories? And also, what's the scope of Adam Mu'ad La'olam, this unique halacha that Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and what's the relationship between that principle and also between the Mechayiv for the Chiyuv Tashlumei Adam? So very simply, we had two basic approaches to what the Mechayiv could be for the Chiyuv Tashlumin of Adam Amazik. One is to compare Adam Amazik to the other Nizkei Mamon, just as other Nizkei Mamon of Shor, Bor, and Ish we could view as Choser Shmira. So too we can view Adam Hamazik as a din of Choser Shmira. What indication do we have from the Gemara for that? So we have the Gemara Bava Kama Dalit Amun Aleph, which says that Adam Shmiras Gufo Alaf. Some of the Achronim, I saw the Talmidim of Reb Chaim say that, of Reb Chaim say that he read the Gemara this way, that we view Adam Hamazik as just a Choser Shmira, that a person is responsible to guard himself against damages. If he neglects or he defaults on that protection, then he's Chaya for his negligence. And that could be viewed as something similar to the Mechayev in other cases of Nizkei Mamon. But the Gemara Bava Kama Dalet Amud Beis has a different indication that maybe Adam Amazik should be viewed differently from the other Nizkei Mamon, whereas the other Nizkei Mamon take place via a proxy, where you have a Baal and then you have a Shor, a Bor, or an Ish that does a Nezek. Here, the Baal himself does the Nezek. So if that's the case, then we can appeal to a very primitive and intuitive Svara that because you did the Nezek, therefore you're Chayev to pay for your action. You put the damages into place, you did them, you performed them, so to speak, and therefore you're chayav for all of your actions. I would like to note here that there's another question. Thanks to Isaac for this, for really pointing this out, which is, it's a very good to distinguish between these two questions. That there's one question of a mechayev. What's the basis for why you're chayev to pay for the nezikim? There's another question within Adam Amazik, which distinguishes Adam Amazik from other categories of Nizkei Mamon, which is, are we going to limit the cases in which you have to pay to cases in which you're at fault? Meaning, is fault a prerequisite for chiyuv? That's a separate question from the mechayev. Do you have to be considered liable? Do you have to be considered... liable is not such a good word. Do you have to be considered at fault for the nezek in order to have to pay for it? So let's play this out. So we have two different mechayev, choser shmira and maisa hezek. Everyone good with those terms? I don't have to explain those terms more. So within both of those categories, you can ask a further question of whether you're at fault when you have to pay for the nezek. So let's say the maisa hezek is the basis for the chiyuv. So you have to pay because you did the damage. Are we then saying that the Torah considers you at fault for the damage because you did it? Or we're saying no. The Torah doesn't think you're at fault for the damage. After all, you were sleeping, for example. So you're not going to be considered at fault for the damages that you did while you're sleeping. But nonetheless, says the Torah, that despite the fact that you're not at fault for the damages that you did, within the parsha of Adam Amazik, you're still going to be chayav for those nezikim. And the reason why you're chayav is because you put the damages into place. You did the Maisa Hezek. You could ask the same exact question with regard to the case of Choser Shmira. Here you could say, well, if you're negligent, then you're at fault. That's probably what would be intuitive, right? Usually we consider someone who's negligent to be at fault. But maybe, the Torah considers you negligent even in cases in which you're not at fault. Meaning, if a Ruach She'ina Metsuya happens and you damage someone else, so you're considered negligent because we have a very, very high standard of negligence within the cases of Adam Amazik, a threshold, a standard that surpasses even the threshold of fault. So these are two different questions that you could ask within the sugya of Adam HaMazik. We're going to focus in more on the question of the Mechayiv, but it's good to keep in mind these two different questions. Joey? Sure? Okay. Moshe didn't even show up today, so I can ask questions. Yeah, it's
fine. So, just clarification on it. Do you mean negligence, or do you mean because other Mu'ul Olam might say that it's not because you're negligent, just you're chayv anyway? I mean, you said that.
I'm trying to distinguish between.
Meaning you might. The Torah might call you negligent even if it's not your fault.
Correct.
So you're not negligent, it's just the Torah might say in other Mu'ul Olam.
The way I would describe it is what I said, that the threshold for negligence would be higher than the threshold for fault.
Adam Mu'ul Olam isn't calling you a poshea, right? Meaning, is anyone saying that?
We're not saying you're poshea, but I mean, just because you're negligent, I guess I'm using the term negligence as broader than pshia.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I think it makes more sense to say.
You could say
it makes more if you're going to take
even what you mean you're chayiv even in onsim or whatever. But that doesn't mean that you're negative. It's just that's the mechayiv.
Okay, so but how would you explain? How would you explain if the reason why you're chayiv for Adam HaMazik is because of choser shmira, because you're supposed to guard yourself against damages, and then the Torah says Adamu ala olam. So even in cases of ruach shina metzuyah, you're going to be chayiv.
Right, like in shmira right? Elosakin.
So how do you explain that?
Like in shmira elosakin, like later on, that
you're chayiv even though you're not at fault.
Yeah, I mean that's I think you understand that more later. No, in shmira elosakin, that's the same thing that Rosa said later.
Right, but if you mean every case, if you think that the mechayiv for Adam HaMazik is choser shmira, then by very definition of the word mechayiv, every time that you're chayiv, you're going to have satisfied that mechayiv.
Right.
So you're going to have to be considered as having been choser shmira, as having had a lack of
you can say
guarding.
In every case that something happens, Mimeo, that means that you blew a shmira.
Okay, so good.
Because you have such an elevated
So you blew a shmira, but you're still saying that you're not at fault.
Who said you're not at fault?
Well, that's what you said before.
No, we're trying to entertain that possibility. You couldn't have done anything else, but you still blew a shmira. Meaning it's not your fault. I mean, no one's saying that you could have done more. If you still blew a shmira.
I would assume that if you could not have done more, then you're not at fault. Meaning you almost just said you're not at fault. It's not your fault.
No, I mean, I'm saying you're not a bad guy, but you still are.
Is it your fault or not?
I don't know what you mean by the Torah says it is. Even though I couldn't
No, the Torah says you're chayiv to pay. The Torah does not say whether it's your fault or not.
That's enough for me, yeah.
I'm just conceptually, those are very different questions.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
One is like the gavel says you gotta pay, right? And another is like you have to pay because you're at fault for what you did.
Okay.
No?
Joey? Wait, the example you brought with the where he went up to the roof and then the Shane and his students came off the roof. So he was at fault for going to the roof because he shouldn't have gone up to the roof.
That's a separate question. We'll get to that later with the drisha and the tas. But I'm saying a case where like a ruach shena mitzuya, I don't know, blew you off the ground and you know hit you into somebody. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything that you could be considered at fault for.
Then what's the lack of guarding that he did?
So I guess what we're trying to say is that every time that a person does damages, by definition, he didn't protect himself against the doing of those damages. We're not taking into account any counterfactuals, like any hypotheses. I don't care what you could have done, what you couldn't have done. You're chayav for the damages that you did, not because you did the action, but because you didn't protect yourself against it. Whether you could have protected yourself or not is not of the issue. That is exactly how we're highlighting that these are two separate questions. You could be chayav for something because you didn't protect yourself against it, even though there was no way for you to protect yourself against it. That's exactly what we're trying to propose. That's not a stira. Logically, it's certainly not a contradiction. So you could certainly say something like that. I don't think it's intuitive. I'm just pointing out that you could say it. If that's confusing, then just forget about it. In Shir, we very much focused on the Mechayiv question, not on the fault question. But I think Isaac's point is a very good point. Okay. So let's, again, we're going to stick to what we did in Shir for the most part. So let's get back to the Mechayiv question. So again, within the Parsha of the Mechayiv, we have these two broad approaches. Either what we're calling a Choser Shmira, guarding and protecting against cases of damage, or a Maisa Hezek, which what distinguishes Adam Amazek is the fact that he performs the damage as opposed to the damage being performed al yedei a proxy. I should also just note, when we use the term Adam HaMazik, this can sometimes get confusing when like you look at other Achronim. The term Adam HaMazik means Adam HaMazik Mamon, whereas Adam HaMazik Adam is what we're calling Chovel. Okay, so when I use the term Adam HaMazik, I put that in the footnote at the top. We really mean Adam HaMazik Mamon. So before we get to the Nafka Mina, I want to, this is often what we do in Shir, just I don't often do this, but just a methodological point. So often what we'll do in Shir, that is before we start discussing like machloks in between Yishonim and the scope of the din and other nafkaminos of a din, we'll look for evidence throughout Shas or certain formulations in Rishonim, certain havaminas both in the Gemara and Rishonim, that point in certain directions of like what conceptual avenue we're going to take. So we really, really did this in this sugya. We went through all of the Gemara, Gimel Amid Beis, through Dalet Amid Beis, reading through the Shach Levitaria, trying to take out different indications within the lines of the Gemara, both formulations themselves and different havaminas of the Gemara, that indicated different approaches within the sugya of Adam HaMazik and what the Mechayiv would be. So I just wanted to point out, just to note, these different indications that we mentioned in Shir. The first one is the topic of the makar, the source for the din. So I mentioned at the very beginning that the source for this, for Adam HaMazik does not appear in the rest of the parsha of Nizkei Mamon. Al Pi Pashtas, the source for Adam HaMazik is Makei Behema Yeshalamena Umakei Adam Yumas, a pasuk from Parshas Emor and Sefer Vayikra. Tosos and Bava Kama and many, many other Rishonim point to that pasuk as being the makar for Adam HaMazik. I would also like to add that I'm not sure if this came across as confusing in Shir. I'm not sure what we said in Shir, but this is certainly the case. Lufiani is Daiti. Other Rishonim, including Tosos themselves, point to Ki Yignov Ish, Shor Ose, Utvacha O Mechara, as another case of Adam HaMazik. That's true. That is a case of Adam HaMazik. But I haven't seen any Rishonim that say that is the mucker for Adam HaMazik. That's not the source for Adam HaMazik. That's just another application of Adam HaMazik. The language that Tosos uses on Daf Beis Amud Aleph is that this is Shame Adam. Shame Adam, meaning the category of Adam, appears within the Parsha of Mishpatim. And therefore, I can say Maveh before Hever. That's what justifies saying Maveh before Ish. But Tosos is not trying to say that the Makor itself, that the source for the Chiyuv, is from Ki Yignov Ish. Everyone agrees, unless, I would love it if someone could show me otherwise. I searched yesterday, not a little bit of a perfunctory search, but I couldn't find someone who disagreed. It seems like everyone agrees that Makei Behema Yishalameno, Makei Adam Yumas, is the source for Adam HaMazik. And certainly it sounds that way in the Pasuk. Right, because Ki Yignov Ish is a case of Geneva, it's not a case of Nezek. In Achinami, you would also be Chai of the Nizkei Mamon part, but it's a case of Geneva, Ki Yignov, not Makei Behema. Yeah, Joey.
Well, such an idea might be possible in Rabbi Yonah and Kriyabalus. Like, if you say that.
If you think that the Chiyo for Nezek is from Geneva.
I mean, that's about the Issa.
But even Rabbi Yonah, quoted in the Tosos Harash, which we'll get to in a second, when he's trying to explain Maveh, also has the same formulation as Tosos. That Kiyignovish is just the first instance of Adam HaMazik. He doesn't say it's the mucker for it. Yeah.
My work in the last paragraph of the Brach was that every element, every Maisa Geneva has an element of Mazik.
Yes, that's similar to Joey's point here.
It's just going out of direction.
The other direction, right. But still, even within those Rishonim and Achonim, I haven't seen anyone who says Mefurish, that the mucker for Adam HaMazik is from those cases. Maybe. Yeah?
Yeah, why the assumption that the closer Adam HaMazik is to Nizkei Mamon, then the more likely the Mechayiv is something like Choser Shmira?
Okay, so let me just get to that point. So let me answer Eitan's question is my next point exactly. So what's the significance of where the makar appears? So if the makar appears in the rest of the parashat Nizkei Mamon, then of course it's not muchach, but what you would say intuitively is that there's some common denominator between these between these cases of nizikin. Meaning there's a reason why the Torah groups together all of these nizikin into one section. It's trying to say it's a conglomerate. All of these are really one case. Maybe there are distinctions between the cases, but at the end of the day, they share a common denominator. Whereas if the source appears in an entirely different parsha, then that motivates the contention that we're dealing with something different, that we're dealing with a different category. And the way that we would explain either a common denominator versus a difference is, again, it's not mochrach, but just that's why we're terming it indications. It's like it's trying to get your head thinking, right? It's trying to say, oh, the makor is in a different parsha. Maybe that means that the mechayev for Adam Amazik is very different from the mechayev for the other Nizkei Mamon.
We see by the other Nizkei Mamon also, the, like, let's say by shame, that the mechayev is very much focused on, like, the actual
mechayev
also.
In a, for sure. But I think when... Okay, so let me explain this point as well. When we use the term... one of the points of confusion is that we use terms across Nizkei Mamon that can mean different things in different cases. In our last year, we explained how the term generic means something different with regard to Regel than with regard to Karen. So too here, when we use the term Maisa Hezek for Shein and we use the term Maisa Hezek for Adam, we mean different things. When we use the term Maisa Hezek for Shein, what we mean is that we consider the damage as perpetrated by the animal, and therefore we're considering the Mechayiv as just like the bank account Mechayiv. We're focusing in, we're zeroing in, we're putting the lens on the animal. This is all about the animal. And then once the animal does X, then the Baal is going to be Chayiv to pay for X. Whereas in this case, we're trying to say that the Mechayiv itself is the action. Right, so we're not saying necessarily you could formulate it that way. I pointed out in the last year the Sefer HaBatim has the line where by all of the shores that when the shore damages, then it's kiyar habal. That's like as if the Baal did it himself. That would, you know, force the shores more towards this other idea of Adam Amazik. But still, certainly Adam Amazik would take that to another level, because even if you want to say that al pi din the person did it when his shore did it, you can't say that in Metzias he did. Whereas in Adam Amazik, in Metzias he did. So therefore, that would like lead to nafkaminas of Adam Mu'ad La'olam or the like, where you would never apply a principle like Adam Mu'ad La'olam to Shor, even if you viewed Shor like a Sefer HaBatin type of approach of, you know, Yad Shor Kiyad Abal. Whereas in Adam Amazik in Metzias, he did the action. So that's a very basic distinction, but a very good point. Okay, next. So we just mentioned the indication of the marker. What about the term Mav? Yeah, Isaac.
This difference between the Makor is also just as much a variety against the Rambam's, which I think came up now. That is like an extension of them. Meaning, just like you're trying to say that the Makor indicates that.
Well, why are we trying to say in Adam that Nizkei Mamon is an extension of Adam?
No, we're saying it's not a Kesar and Shmira, it's just Mamon and Shmira. Is that our reason?
Is that, I don't think we're saying that as an extension of Adam. Right, yeah, we're not, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't mean it that way. Mamono shehizik that, ah. So, like, it's the property is an extension of the person. I think we just mean that a person is obligated to pay for the consequences of his property. Like a different principle. Okay.
I think that's the way that's understood.
Is the extension idea. Like, a person's not defined just by his goof, but also by his property.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think we really spoke about that so much in here. Okay, next, Mave. So why do we use the term Mave instead of Adam? So I posed that question as the segue between Eved Va'ama and Adam Amazik. So we mentioned that the Nimuka Yosef asks this question. So we said his answer, that the Ben Chorin, I'll come back to that in a second. Rabbi Yonan Tosus Harash has a different answer. He says that it's because Mave first appears in the Torah in the parasha of Geneva, Tvicho, Mechira, and there... The connotation is someone who's mechapis bevis chaverav, right? He's like searching through. He's trying to peer through another person's property in order to take it for himself. So therefore, since the first instance of Adam Amazik appears in a context of Geneva, and Mave connotes chipus, which is consistent with Geneva, therefore we use the term Mave to like connect Geneva and Adam Amazik. Rav Rosenzweig had a different reading of that Rabbi Yonah. Not sure if at the end of the day he was ultimately moda, but he certainly said that you could read it this other way. Lefi Anias Daiti, I really think the real pashtus of Rabbi Yonah is that way. So we're going to go with that. Nimuke Yosef has a different approach. We mentioned at the beginning that Maveh really means like a Ben Chorin, and it comes to exclude Eved V'Shevcha. So if Rosenzweig just made the Ha'ara, that maybe the usage of Maveh to connote Ben Chorin also coheres nicely with a Maisa Hezek approach. It's trying to say that a person is a Ben Chorin, he has Bechir Chavshis, he's conscious and able to control his actions, and therefore he's Chaya for the actions that he does. Interesting. Next, what about the question of toldos? We asked that question when we first mentioned the Gemara. So we have a machlukas between the Pashtus and Rashi and the way the Rashash reads him, and between the Rambam and the Nimuka Yosef, whether kicho v'nio... yeah.
But doesn't that depend on how you explain Adam Ramo? I mean, if that was explained in the way of like the Chosh Shmira, like that as well, then...
We're focusing more on like the Ben Chorin idea.
Right.
Every person is a person to himself. He's a Olam Male. He has his own...
Right, but I'm saying if you were to go with the Chosh Shmira approach, then this would be the opposite indication. Because over here would be saying the Ramah adopted because we're here.
Because you can't... Yeah, in Achinami, right. You could... That's why it's an indication. Yeah, you could get out of it. So what about Toldo? So we have a machlokas between Rishonim as to Kicho v'Nio. So the Gemara says Kicho v'Nio is Kocho. So is that really like the Av itself, or is that a Toldo? So Pashtus in Rashi, where Rashi says Havalei Adam Gufo u'mechayiv, the way the Rashash, reads him, is that that's just another instance of the Av of Adam Amazik. And if that's the case, then we end up in our Gemara with no Toldo. For Adam Amazik, Yashin is an Av. The Gemara says that explicitly on Dalam and Aleph. And according to Rashi, even Kicho v'Nio is an Av. So we come out of the Gemara with no Tolda for Adam Amazik. Whereas according to the Rambam and the Nimuka Yosef and the way the Pnei Yoshua reads Rashi, Kicho v'Nio really is the Tolda of Adam Amazik. But the question that we want to know, which is the more striking opinion, is why would there be no Tolda for Adam Amazik? So Rav Rosenzweig suggested that Toldos are usually based on their Tsuros, meaning that a Tolda happens in a different way from an Av. So if you take Nischakecha Bechosel, that's very different from Achila, from the Av of Shein. When an animal rubs up against the wall, that doesn't appear anything like consumption. So therefore, it's defined as a Tolda as opposed to an Av. But when it comes to Adam Amazik, if we take an approach of Maisa Hezek, so everything is the same. It just has to do with the brute fact that this is an act of damage. It doesn't matter the way in which that damage took place. It doesn't matter to whom it took place. It doesn't matter when it took place. It's just the brute fact that it is an act of damage. And if that's the case, then we can explain why there would be no Toldos. And finally, the relationship between Adam Amazik and Chovel and Nizkei Mamon. So this is something that we've emphasized very much throughout Shir, really from the beginning of the year. What's the relationship between these categories? So the first thing to note is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel of the Geder Maveh. What does Maveh mean? So Shmuel says Maveh Shein, Rav says Maveh Adam. That machlokas is significant for the fact that of whether Adam is mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rav, Adam is mentioned in the Mishnah along with the other Avos and Nezikin. According to Shmuel, it's not. We pointed out at the beginning of the year that the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos goes out of his way to say the behold like Shmuel. And Rav Rosenzweig said that the Rambam doesn't oft quote how we paskin in Pirshei Mishnayos. So Rav Rosenzweig thought that was significant, that the Rambam quotes that we hold like Shmuel in the Pirshei Mishnayos. The significance of this discussion would be whether we categorize Adam HaMazik more with the other Nizkei Mamon, Shitas Rav, Maveh mentioned in the Mishnah, or more away from the other Nizkei Mamon, Shitas Shmuel, that Maveh is not mentioned in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. And again, this could connect to the Mechaev of Adam Amazik. If you think that it's more about the Shmira, so that connects more to other damages via proxy, whereas if you think it's about the Maisa Hezek itself, that takes Adam Amazik away from other Nizkei Mamon.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just recall on the Shana's point, I think the significance was it's a Sat Halacha with no
Nafkamina whatsoever. With no
Nafkamina. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So that's a good addition. That motivates the Taina a little bit more. Isaac.
Just going back for a second for
Kichavineo. Yeah.
Is the claim that once an Adam is involved in the cause of the damage, it doesn't matter how it happened?
So we'll see later that there are cases in which it does matter how it happened. So I can't. That's why I try to be precise. You can't say it that extremely. But I think what we're trying to say is that once this enters the realm of Adam Amazik, then it doesn't matter how it happens.
That's so circular, though, because you're like defining what it is to be like a Maisa Hezek in terms of what is considered Adam Amazik.
we're trying to eliminate other like external factors. Like I'm referring to like the makabid shamayim pshat, right? So later on we suggested in Shir that there could be cases that just don't satisfy as ma'isa hezek because they're labeled as something else. It's just a makabid shamayim. It's an act of hashgacha.
So
I'm saying once
you just point to every single individual case and say like, oh, this is different for that reason, this is different for that reason, but that's not giving a sufficient understanding of what ma'isa hezek is for the amount. Like, okay, what if a person goes and pushes an animal and that convinces the animal to go do that? Like, why is that amount? Or is it other amount? Seems like an open question.
I would say in Achinami. I think it just comes back. I don't think this is circular. It's just that once you have to have some definition. We didn't discuss like a precise definition for what the Maisa Hezek has to be. We just noted these other cases where we said it's not. Right? We didn't give like a positive definition of it. But once you satisfy that positive definition, then you can ask a further question of whether you'll have a distinction between those cases of Av and Tolda. And we're saying no, because once you reach the definition, then the question ends. It doesn't matter the way in which the case takes place. Between Av and Tolda?
Yeah, what would the distinction be?
So I guess like if you take the Rambam, that Kicho v'Nio is a Tolda. So I guess you would think that, I don't know, maybe more indirect damages would be a Tolda. Like there would be like a spectrum or degrees of directness. So like something that's more like a grama, but not grama, but like something that's more in the direction of grama, but still adam amazik, would be a tolda, whereas something that's not grama at all would be an av.
Right, and so nafkamina just for the descriptive tolda.
Yeah, I don't think there would be an nafkamina ledina. Especially since we think coyote boyan. Right, do we ever find an nafkamina between avos and toldos in the other avos?
Soros.
Soros doesn't apply to toldos of rego?
Yeah.
But I'm saying that once you think coyote bohen,
yeah.
So you still have toldos, but there's no nafkamina between
right.
The av and the tolda.
Okay, so just a description.
Yeah.
I was still pressed that our explanation of ma'isa hezek seems to be nothing more than a filling for
kai. I agree, but I think if we discussed it more, we would agree. I think Rosenzweig would agree that those two questions are different. But we just didn't actually get to the positive definition of Maisa Hezek. We only got to exceptions. That's, yeah. Joey. After this, I think we're going to do no more questions. Okay? I'm sorry. No, it's okay. Yeah. Okay, I think that's essentially. Is that so different from what I was saying?
No, I thought it was just
that he's emphasizing the Kiddush point.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so like the in chabah. Well, the adam amazik is less of a Kiddush, and therefore I don't know. I still think you have to add in the svara part that if you once you care about ma'isa hezek, then you don't care about the way in which it takes place. Yeah, right. Just because that itself is the mechayiv. Yeah. Okay. Just to fill out this part in the shir, so the relationship between Adam HaMazik, Chovel, and Nizkei Mamon. So we also had the relevance of Dalet Dvarim to Adam HaMazik, where the Gemara in a couple of places, and Dalet and Aleph, also in Hamid Beis, with regard to Hilchot Sehan, raises the chiyuv of Dalet Dvarim as something relevant to Adam HaMazik Mamon. Even though Dalet Dvarim doesn't apply to Adam HaMazik Mamon. So that seems to bring closer together Adam HaMazik Mamon and Adam HaChovel, which we mentioned could be a motivation for the Rambam to put Adam HaMazik within Hilchos Chovel, not within Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. And of course, the more that you bring Adam HaMazik towards the end of the spectrum of Chovel, the more you're going to emphasize his Maisa as opposed to a Choser Shmir. Nobody explains Chovel, the Mechayev of Chovel, as a Choser Shmir. That's certainly not the case. Okay, we're going to go super quickly because I want to end in 5 minutes. So the nafkamina of Adam Mu'ad La'olam. the scope of it. So does Ptur Ones apply to Adam HaMazik at all? And if so, then to what extent? Pashtus of the Ramban above Mitzia Peis Beis Amid Beis is that Ptur Ones does not apply at all. Most of the other Yishonim think that Ptur Ones does apply, and to different extents. The Migdal Oz has a wild chiddush that Adam HaMazik is going to be chayev only if he's mazik bekavana. The Yamshal Shlomo says the Migdal Oz had no idea what he was talking about. Next, the Rosh has a Havamina that in Ones of Kein Geneva Ve'Aveda would exempt Adam HaMazik, but he ends up not saying that way. Tosas and Bava Kama and Tosas and Bava Mitzia all over the place says that an Ones of Kein Geneva would exempt, but an Ones of Kein Aveda would not. Next, we have the Rivan Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who say that only Onsen of more than Kein Geneva would exempt Adam HaMazik. And finally, we have the Nimuka Yosef, who says that only an Ones Gomer, Mamish an Ones Gomer, would exempt Adam HaMazik. Anything short of an Ones Gomer would not exempt Adam HaMazik. We mentioned that these could be machloksim in terms of levels of Ones. Right, because here we have two different discussions. We have an Ones discussion and we have an Adam HaMazik discussion. The Ones discussion is, how do you view Ptur Ones? Is it a Ptur Onshin or is it a Hafkas HaMaisa? So maybe you'll distinguish between different levels of Ones as to what's considered a Hafkas HaMaisa. Or maybe this is really an Adam HaMazik discussion. Are you Mechayiv Adam HaMazik because of Choser Shmira, in which case maybe you would take a lower level Ones to be Poter? Or are you Mechayiv Adam HaMazik because of the Maisa Hezek, in which case it would take a higher level Ones to be Poter? Or maybe you could even reach the Ramban's conclusion that no level of Ones would be Poter Adam HaMazik, because maybe the type of damage that the Adam HaMazik does, the case of Adam HaMazik, Maisa Hezek, is a more of a pragmatic action. It's not a formal action. And therefore, no Ptur Ones would apply. The idea of Hafkas HaMaisa would not apply to Adam HaMazik at all, since it's really more of pragmatics, not something of formalities. It's not a legal action. It's just something that happens in Metzias. So you can't be Mafkia, that type of Maisa. What was the Shitas HaRambam? So this is a Machlokas between the Achronim. Most of the Nosei Kalim think that the Rambam agrees with the Rov Rishonim that Ones Gomer does exempt from Adam HaMazik. You'll see the Maror Mekomos that I put on the sheet. But the Magen Mishnah mentions a possibility, the Shach reads the Rambam this way, and Rosenzweig certainly read the Rambam this way, that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban that Adam HaMazik is Chayev even in case of Ones Gomer. What's the evidence in the Rambam for what his Shita would be? So you'll look at the different indications in the Rambam. I'm sorry, I'm not really going to have time to get through all of them, but I'll mention some. Or maybe I'll just go through them very quickly. At the very beginning, when the Rambam presents the Ptur Ones, the Chi of Ones, the Rambam does not distinguish between different types of Onsin. So maybe that points in the direction of the Ramban and the way of Rosenzweig was reading. Next, the Rambam has Hu HaMuad, which is the Pashtus of the Yerushalmi for the Ptur in the case of Yashin. It's not a Ptur of Ones, it's a Ptur of the other guy being Poshea. That also coheres nicely with the Rambam thinking that there's no Ptur Ones. Next, the Rambam has Huzku versus Hizik, meaning that in Parak Aleph of Chovel, where he's talking about cases of Chavala, he says that the Ptur is limited to cases of Huzku. Whereas in Perek Vav of Chavala, of Hilchos Chovel, he says that the Ptur is even for Hizik. Rosenzweig suggested that that's based on the distinction between the context of Chovel and Perek Aleph and the context of Adam HaMazik Mamon and Perek Vav. In the context of Chovel and Perek Aleph, you're only potter for Huzku, you're not potter for Hizik, because in a case of Hizik, there's still a Nechbal. So that's something that we could be mechayev for a Chavala. But in the case of Perek Vav and Hilchos Chovel, where we're talking about Nizkei Mamon or Adam HaMazik Mamon, so there you'll be potter even for Hizik, because Rosenzweig suggested that this would be a case where it's not labeled as a Maisa Hezek. This is not something that's really a Maisa Hezek. This is just the guy conducting his own business within his own property, or both of them having Rishus to act the way that they want in a Rishus that belongs to both of them. You'll look at the context there. But either way, Rosenzweig suggested that this was just not labeled as a Maisa Hezek. Next, Chovel Aleph Yud Ches, which was the Makar that Matan brought to bear. So, Uchimo Anusani, the Rambam says that if someone damages, this is in the context of Omdin Lenizakin. So if someone damages with something that we could not have expected to execute the type of damage that it did, then he would be Potter, because Uchimo Anusani. Rosenzweig suggested that's not a Ptur Ones, that's a Taina, that's Uchimo Anusani, that's trying to say that this wasn't even a Maisa Hezek. I can't be at fault for this, or I can't be considered to have done this, because I used something that shouldn't have conducted, that shouldn't have put into fruition the result that happened. Next, Harehu Kemezid. I'm going to skip that for now. Come to me if you want an explanation about that. Next, Makobi De Shamayim. That was like the Iker Diok for Ravon Tzvayg. Chovel Vav Dalid, where the Rambam says that in the case of Sulam and Nishmet Achavila, that a person is Pater. And some of the Achronim read that as Ptur Ones, but Ravon Tzvayg said, no, it's Makobi De Shamayim. It's labeled as something else. It doesn't enter the category. It doesn't enter the parsha of Adam HaMazik. It's just an act of Ashgacha. It's not an Adam HaMazik at all. And finally, Chiyuv B'Moser, Rav Rosenzweig said, was an Adam HaMazik, and that was another instance where you would have no Ptur Ones. Nafkamina Ptur Yashin, I'm on page 4 now. So the Yerushalmi says that Yashin is going to be Potter in certain cases, because the other guy would be the Muad, meaning we would consider the other guy the Poshea. That coheres nicely with the Ramban and the way Rav Rosenzweig is reading the Ramban. But other Rishonim, Lav Dafka, the Yerushalmi, they say it's not really about Hu HaMuad. It's not about the fact that the other guy is Poshea, but rather it's about the fact that the Yashin is Anus. That's the way Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz Alatar reads it. That's the way Tosos in Vavakama Chav Zayin reads it. And that coheres nicely with their approach that the Mechaev for Adam HaMazik is a Choser Shmira, and in this case, in which there would be an Ones, you can't consider the guy at fault for his Shmira, or you at least cannot be considered negligent for the Shmira because there was nothing else that you could have done. Other nafkamina include Ruach She'ina Metsuya and the definitions of Yadavei. So Ruach She'ina Metsuya, we have the Tzira and the Tur, whether Ruach She'ina Metsuya is Chai for Nezek or Potter for Nezek, and all of the Achronim try to be Miyashev the Tur. So I'm going to point out two different explanations. The first is of the Drisha, who says we should be Mechalik between Adam HaMazik and Adam HaChovel. He has more of a technical explanation for that Chiluk, where Rosenzweig suggested that you can make that Chiluk and explain it in a fundamental way. That you would be Potter for Adam HaMazik because Ruach She'ina Metsuya is just not a Maisa Hezek, whereas you would be Chaya for Adam HaChovel because it is, even though we have a more flexible definition of what's a Maisa Hezek, you can more easily say that something's not labeled as a Maisa Hezek, whereas within the world of Chavala, once somebody's a Nechbal, he's staring you in the face, this guy's bruised from head to toe, you can't say that there was no Maisa Chavala in that case. So therefore, even a Ruach She'ina Metsuya would be Chayev. Other comments that are relevant, so the Taz and the Lacha Mishnah both take Choser Shmira approaches. They say that you'll only be Chayev if there was no Maika. But if there, I don't know why I just said Micah, it's because I've been sitting next to Brash and Weiss. If there was no Maka, but if there was not a Maka, so then you will be Potter. Why? Because you can't be at fault for a Choser Shmira. Then the Lecha Mishnah has also a case where if you went up to the roof in a case in which you would have caused damage even with a Ruach Mitsuya, so then you're Chayev for Ruach She'ina Mitsuya. But if you went up to the roof in a case where you would have been Potter, or you wouldn't have caused damage in a Ruach Mitsuya, meaning you put into fruition the types of protections against the Ruach Mitsuya, then you're not going to be Chayev for the Ruach She'ina Mitsuya. Both of these explanations of the Taz and the Lecha Mishnah both emphasize a Choser Shmira type approach where we're trying to define whether we can consider you liable for the negligence or not. Finally, the definitions of Yadavei, the sugyas on Lamed Beis and Mem Ches, where someone's nichna shalo brishus, or you have shnei brishus. What's the definition of Yadavei? So Rashi says, based on the way the Achronim read him, that Yadavei is just a re'iyah, meaning if the Baal HaBayis knows that you're in his rishus, and then he goes and is mazik you, then he's chayiv automatically. But the Rambam says, no, it doesn't mean re'iyah, it means kavana. That the Baal HaBayis had to have kavana to be mazik you if you were nichnas shalor b'shus. Re'iyah itself does not suffice. Then the Lecha Mishnah points out that there's a stira in the Tur. The Tur seems to say for the Baal HaBayis we require kavana, whereas for cases of shneim shalor b'shus or b'shus we require just re'iyah. We suffice with re'iyah. So the Lecha Mishnah is bothered. Why does the Tur? Have a stira. Why does he pass in like one case like Rashi and another case like the Rambam? So Rav Rosenzweig had a beautiful explanation here. He said that maybe the venue or the context can define whether something is considered a Maisa Hezek or not. So for the context of Shem Bershus or Shalom Bershus, we'll have a lower threshold as to what's considered a Maisa Hezek. As long as either party is aware of, I don't know why I'm from Boston, Either party is aware of the existence of the other, ri'iya, so then he will be chayev. But in the case of Baal HaBayis, if you're nechna shelo b'shus, then we have a higher threshold as to what's considered a maisa hezek of the Baal HaBayis. He's allowed to conduct his business and his own affairs within his property, within his personal context. So if that's the case, then only if he's mazik b'chavana will his act of hezek be considered a maisa hezek, for which he will be chayev. So again, Rav Yonsan used this idea of the Maisa Hezek being the Mechayev for the Adam HaMazik in order to explain the stira and the tour that the Lechem Mishnah points out, and then we use that as a segue in order to discuss the Ptur Shein Vorek or B'Shul Sardabim, where again we come on to another case where you just don't have a Maisa Hezek in certain cases, because Shein Vorek or B'Shul Sardabim might just not be a Maisa Hezek at all. Just the last point, please note the two additions to the record that I sent out in the email. The connection between the Rambam Aleph Yud Ches and the Rambam Yud Beis Tes Zayin, and also the Rambam in Morin Avuchim with regard to Ptur Shein Vorek or B'Shul Sardabim. Hatzachar Rabba and the Bechina, I really, really urge, please,